think Albert Kukesh said it best. That the Muslims go to Mecca and the Tlingits go to Juneau for gold medal.
Locals travel south for a 65-year-old spring tradition and a compromise in the proposed Flutac Dock tariff ordinance. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. Those stories and more up next. The Haynesboro Assembly meets Tuesday night. On this week's agenda, the borough will take up discussion on the LUTAC dock tariff. The ordinance under consideration would raise rates for docking at the port or storing cargo there. However, the ordinance has seen some significant revisions since its first hearing. After considering public input and communicating with shipping companies about the initial rate increase, Haynesboro manager Mark Ernest offered some changes. The new proposed ordinance suggests a lower starting point for the increased rates, but with a gradual 10% annual rate adjustment over a five-year period. The revised ordinance is available at the Haynesboro website. The Borough Assembly is also not done talking about heli-skiing. The decision whether or not to grant Haynes-based Alaska Mountain Guides a commercial tour permit to operate helicopter skiing programs in the borough was postponed until the heli-skiing work group had finished. Now that they're not meeting, the Assembly will consider comments from December's public hearing and written comments before deciding on whether to permit a third heli-ski operation in the Chilkat Valley. Alaska Mountain Guides is looking to offer educational courses and guided helicopter skiing with the permit. The Assembly meets Tuesday at 6:30, but not in Assembly chambers. Once a year, the Assembly meets at the Haynes Library. They also voted this year to hold one meeting in April at the Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center. Public comments will still proceed and end the meeting, and an opportunity for testimony will be part of each public hearing. Basketball season is not over yet. The longest-running tournament for local players marks 65 years this spring, with four local adult teams playing in Juneau this week. The Gold Medal Basketball Tournament, organized by the Juneau Lions Club, began on Sunday. Every year, it brings competition as far south as Heidelberg and as far north as Yakutat for 1 week of nonstop game. But it's never just about the game, says Lions Club treasurer Joyce Kitka.
It's much more than a basketball tournament. It's the people coming back for, reunions, and gold medal is Disneyland to some of these people. They save their money and they come to Juneau for gold medal.
Jason Scholl of Haynes plays for one of the Clukwan teams and is in Juneau playing his 11th gold medal tournament.
It's neat because you do see different towns and villages coming in a given year. You know, certain villages might make it, or something might come up where the teams weren't able to get here. And so every year there's a few new teams or teams that might come in and out, but you see a lot of the same faces.
Sports Illustrated wrote in 1994 that in the Alaska bush, Eskimo girls can dribble behind their backs, middle school teams travel by airplane, and 50-year-old point guards are village heroes. But what is the deal, you still wonder? Why is it that the only people who travel more than Alaskans for basketball are professional NBA players? And why is it that a basketball tournament has been around longer than most things you know as Alaskan, like Extra Tufts, the Alaska Marine Highway, the Southeast Alaska State Fair, and yes, even Sarah Palin?
It's been popular for many, many years.
Larry Sweet of Clukwan has been playing the sport in Southeast Alaska just about his whole life.
Oh, geez, it's been, I know my wife's father, he was the manager for the team when Dick Hutt was coaching a lot of teams. And it used to be back just one division, and they brought guys from all over. I know that Dewey Stannett played for Clukwan, and John Tompkins, and Bill Tompkins. And, you know, there was a lot of big names back in the day when Robert Jeff David played for numerous teams. And it's just, I think Albert Kukesh said it best. It's the Muslims go to Mecca, and the Tlingits go to Juneau for gold medal.
If 1891 is the start of a sport that began simply with wooden peach baskets affixed to the walls of a gym, gold medal's birth in 1946 would fit right in between the origin of the Harlem Globetrotters and the formation of the NBA. And talking to Larry about the sport, or just about anyone at gold medal for that matter, is like talking to a Canadian about hockey or a Texan about football.
Well, that's the thing, is, you know, we got, especially up in Alaska, we've got during the winter months, we've got a lot of free time, you know, and that's why it's not so big on football, because 9 times out of 10, that's when everybody's making their money.
And for the state's younger players, rural schools spend tens of thousands of dollars to bring top teams in for good competition. What's more, fans think nothing of traveling hundreds of miles to watch the game. Chivac earlier this year spent more than $13,000 to bring top-ranked Skagway Panthers to their 2A tournament. And a troop of Northern Lynn Canal fans happily traveled to Anchorage in the winter for the state championship game. Sweet remembers that in Haynes High history, Barrow once flew the boys' team, including his son, to the frozen north just to play basketball.
Well, that's the thing is those native villages up there, they've got the love for the basketball, but unfortunately they're so far out there that they can't get teams to come in, and that's what they do. I know back when Rich, my son, was in Haynes High, and Rich Calkins was the coach, the Barrow team brought them up to play. Yeah, they flew the chartered plane and everything for them to all go up there. They had Alaska Airlines take them up there, and yeah, my son said he never got so cold. They were standing outside waiting for the van and spitting on the fence and watching it freeze before it hit the ground.
And accordingly, some basketball lore says the sport was invented because a school in Massachusetts was looking for a vigorous recreation suitable for indoor winter play. Just take a stroll through any number of hometown businesses to see your local basketball Hall of Fame. And if you don't know who's who, ask someone.
You got pictures down there, and we've got numerous pictures up here of all of the old teams. And it's just a pleasure to watch, especially when you guys like Johnny Big Boy Willard and all the guys play. I mean, that's back in the day when there wasn't so much dribbling and, you know, it was pass, pass, pass. And if you weren't watching the ball, you'd get hit in the face with the ball. Well, that's back in the day before, you know, there was so much dribbling involved with the way it is now. I mean, you get a couple of your fast guards and all they do is dribble the ball up and down the court real fast. And back then, the ball rarely touched the floor.
And there weren't three-pointers back then either, not until the early 1970s.
When we were playing in gold medal, I mean, Larry Hotch would have scored twice as many points as he did when we were playing, because he used to shoot, they used to call him downtown Larry Hotch. He was shooting from almost half court.
Fast forward to 2011. Shoal and his Klukwan C team have a day off before they play again. A lot of the familiar names are transitioning to the Masters division, making way for new players. But the reason why they play hasn't changed a bit.
You know, it's an amazing opportunity. It's really something that, you know, I think that people really embrace rather than taking it for advantage. The people involved, really, it's an opportunity to get together, see family and friends from other villages and towns around Southeast, get together in one place. Everybody comes and spends time together. Of course, we've got basketball going on, and it's really important from the standpoint that we all get together and compete against each other. Of course, everyone wants to win, but it's just a big deal to get to come and visit with friends and family and see folks you might not have seen for a while, get to compete against your friends, you know, folks you've been competing against for years. You know, everybody in Southeast makes these connections, and it's an important part of the social network.
Klukwan has teams in all three divisions this year, B, C, and Masters, with the Haynes Merchants in the open B bracket. Some Skagway players are also on the rosters. Chilkat Valley teams have historically been pretty competitive. Some say the spirit carries over from how the Chilkats were even before basketball was a sport. Haynes Merchants made it to the championship game last year, and Klukwan teams often have a shot at the title. And its fans are just as into it. It's local sponsors that help send the teams to the tournament each year.
Any of the businesses, individuals, anybody that helps contribute, you know, it's a nice thing to do for our community to come down and give them an opportunity to, you know, watch us play and connect with everybody, like I said. And the folks who donated money really helped make that possible. It really does make a big difference.
So far this year, two local teams are already moved to the loser's bracket, but Haynes Merchants move ahead in the tournament after a win over Cake Clinkett Warriors, 85-69.
The B bracket Haynes team got a solid win. The B bracket Klukwan team had a real competitive game yesterday. I think they finished close to around 10 points in their loss to Yakutat. And the Klukwan C team had a real tough game and was within a couple points.
Gold medal tournament continues in Juneau until the weekend with four local teams competing. A caravan of fans are also traveling to the capital city to watch the action or for spring break or the middle school hoop time basketball tournament. one of Haynes' lesser-known winter sports, ended last weekend in a bonus round pool tournament that traveled throughout four of the town's businesses. Nearly 70 players were part of this year's pool league in Haynes, which starts every year in the fall. Eight teams competed almost every weekend since in one of four local businesses. Kelly Jessup of the Fog Cutter organizes the league. He presented top teams and shooters with awards on Saturday.
And we have repeat champions again this year. Fog Cutter 8 for first.
The league raised $6,500 throughout the season. The bulk of that went back to top players, with some going to expenses and trophies. $500 went to local groups of the winner's choice.
And with the first place teams, Tony and the boys there, they got $500 going to charity. They're going to give $250 to the Girl Scouts and $250 to the Haynes High Cheerleading Squad.
This was the first full non-smoking pool season in Haynes, which some players distinctly appreciated. Others were annoyed with the frequent cold smoke breaks out of doors. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. KHNS local news every weekday at 5:30 p.m. and on weekday mornings at 6:49 and 7:49 a.m. Then a review of the week's top local news stories is heard every Saturday during Lynn Cannell Weekend on KHNS.